All right, thanks everyone for coming along. Most of you have met Dr. Yahong Lee, who's visiting here for 3 weeks, I think, as a visiting fellow at Hughes Hall. She is an associate professor and deputy director of the Faculty of Law at the University of Hong Kong, has written widely in IP, particularly in patent law. So it's great to have her here to speak today about developments in Chinese patent law. Thanks.
Good afternoon. First of all, I want to thank CITLL for hosting me and for organizing this talk. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay. You can see that I'm going to talk about changes in Chinese patent law and the impact of the innovation in China. Before I go to the discussion of the changes of the law, and I want to give you a very brief introduction of the Chinese patent system. There are three types of patents in China, namely innovation, invention, utility model, and design. And the invention patent referred to the new technology solution relating to a product or process, and it's subject to a substantive review on inventiveness, such as and for about 2 to 4 years. And if granted, it's a 20 years of protection. And utility model is more like a petite model, a petite patent or short-term patent in UK. And it's referred to new shapes or structure and subject to the preliminary review based on substantive feature and improvement, and usually lasts half year to 1 year of review and receive 10 years of protection. And the third type of the patent is a design patent, and which refer to a patent for new industrial design of shape, pattern, and color or combination of those, and with an asset filling. And it's also received a preliminary review, not substantive review. By preliminary, I mean it's a formality review. And it's also received 10 years of protection. And the Chinese patent law is quite young. It's only about 30 years. Started in 1984, and then it was amended for three times in 1992, 2000, and 2008. And now there is a pending fourth amendment. I'm going to go through each of them later. And then because the patent law is quite general, so it was supplemented by patent law implementing rules, which is more detailed, and which also have subjected to three amendments now. And then there are patent examination guidelines given the instruction to patent examiners on the patent examination. And then because China is a civil law system, so the cases are not binding, so the periodically Supreme Court will issue interpretation, judicial interpretation, to give the guidance to the lower court on the application of the law. And then the patent examined by State Intellectual Property Office, which we call the SIPO. And within the SIPO, there's a Patent Re-Examination Board, a PRB, which will review the validity of the patent if it's challenged. And then patent rights are enforced by both judicial and administrative organ. And there are 83 intermediate courts authorized for handling patent cases. And then there's also robust administrative enforcement by local patent offices under the SIPO, which we'll also talk about this later. The first amendment of patent law occurred in 1992, and the basically that amendment was to implement the commitment made by China under the Sino-US Memorandum of Understanding on intellectual property protection. And those commitment including like extending the patent protection for pharmaceuticals, food, beverage, and chemical substances, which were not covered under previous law. And then it also includes the patent term extension from 14 years to 20 years for invention patent, and 5 years for 5 years to 10 years for both utility model and design patent. And then scope of compulsory license were narrowed, given more conditions. And then the pre-grant opposition procedure was changed to post-grant revocation. And accordingly, patent examination guideline also changed to allow the patent protection for computer program if it has technical features and can produce technical effect. And previous requirement for hardware change were also abolished. So those are the major changes under 1992 amendments. And then after this change, the amendment, we saw some increase in patenting in chemical, pharmaceutical, and computer program software area. For example, the patent or increased from 500 to about 2,000 in following years. And then there's total 60,000 in this period for chemical drugs. And the computer program also increased from less than 100 to 1,000 in year 2000. And the growth rate in this period, 2000 to 2005, is 54%. And then after 8 years, another change was made to patent law, which was aimed to harmonize with TRIPS agreement, because at that time China were trying to get into WTO, and so all the IP law were, had to change according to TRIPS agreement. And the major changes include like service invention. And service invention previously, basically the patent right belonged to the state, and there's no negotiation between the employer, employee, and so this has been changed. In that the employer and the employee can negotiate whether about the patent ownership. And the inventor also shall be remunerated. And the offer for sale, the right to offers for sale was also added. And post-grant revocation procedure was also abolished because it's very time-consuming. And then most importantly, the judicial review of administrative decision on patent validity, and this was required under the TRIPS agreement, and later on we'll see some cases. And the provisional measure like injunction and also preservation of evidence, preservation of property also were provided. And compulsory licensing, more conditions were added according to TRIPS agreement. We can't get into the detail because of time constraint. And I give you two examples of a judicial review of the administrative decision. One is the Chinese generic drug companies versus Pfizer's on the validity of Viagra patent. The patent was filed in, granted in China, and then there were 12 Chinese companies challenged the validity of the patent on the ground that the application was not sufficiently disclosed. And then Pfizer amended the claim, and the request for validity the invalid. The patent was filed with CIPO's Patent Re-Examination Board, and the PRB invalidated the patent, and then Pfizer challenged that decision in the intermediate court in Beijing, and then that intermediate court upheld PRB's decision, and then Pfizer appealed that decision to Beijing's High Court, and eventually the request was filed in year 2001, and then eventually in year 2007, after 7 years, the Beijing High Court eventually overturned the intermediate court decision and then upheld Viagra patent. And another case, it's not happened during that period, but it's also give you some example that you know the validity decision by PRB was challenged in the court and but eventually was overturned by the Supreme Court. And this one you can see that the claim involved the scope of claim, and because defendant amended the claim from semiconductor storage device to storage device. So the plaintiff challenged the validity based on the grounds that the amended claim exceeded the scope of the original claim. But eventually the court interpreted differently. So this is the example of judicial review of the administrative decision. And then you can also see some changes in patenting trend. And there's a continuing growth in patent filing in those areas like biotechnology, pharmaceutical. The growth rate is 23%. And then there's also computer software at 53%, around 53% of growth rate. So, and then the third amendment was carried out in another 8 years, year 2008, and this time there's no external pressure for China to amend the patent law. It mostly come from the internal demand, internal, national IP strategy to enhance indigenous innovative capacity. And the strategy basically is to focus on creation, protecting and use and management of IPR. And also set the goal that China should rank top five in patent filing by year 2020. And this goal had already been achieved. I can see later the some figures. And under this amendment, the previously mixed novelty test changed to absolute novelty test. Mixed novelty test means they have two different criteria to decide whether a technology is prior art. Basically, it's decided on whether it's published anywhere in the world or whether there's a use in China. So this was criticized for creating so-called hijack patent, which means that someone, like Chinese inventor, they went to they go out and, for example, like in UK, they spotted some technology in the exhibition, and then they go back to China and patent that, which is not considered as the prior art. Okay, so. In that round of the amendment, that test was changed to absolute just one test, prior art in and out of China. Prior art can be interpreted as the publication and use, okay? So, and also there are higher standard for industrial design, basically means that, you know, the two-dimensional design are not patentable, like trademarks and the labels are not patentable, and also require more distinctive difference for the new design. And then there is also a security check on inventions completed in China, but filing the foreign patents, which means that some of the patent invention completed China, but they want to file the patent in UK or US first, not in China first. So previously, this was not allowed. Basically, if you try, you file foreign patent first, then you cannot apply for Chinese patent later. But this has been changed to that this is filing foreign patent allowed, but you need to go through the security check, which means you have to apply for the security check with the state council, with the CIPO first, and after the clearance of the security, then you can file the foreign patent, and you can also come back to China to file the patent, okay? And then another change is the genetic resource. Genetic resource is required to be disclosed when you apply for the patent in China, which means that if you use the genetic resource in China, and then you need to disclose where this genetic resource come from in your patent application. This otherwise your patent application will be rejected, and this is some people said that this is exceeded the TRIPS agreement requirement because there's no such requirement under TRIPS agreement yet. And this change also allowed the BOLA exception and parallel import. For those who know the BOLA exception, it actually it's a U.S. Exception, which means that you know, the use of the patent technology for the purpose of applying for the marketing approval, it can be considered as an exception, which is allowed. And China also adopted this exception and also parallel import, which allow the patented technology come back to China to for sale at a cheaper price. And for state-funded project, it doesn't really, it didn't change on this. And then still, the state-funded project, the ownership of patents still belong to the state. This change also added statutory damage when the compensation is hard to calculate. And then the court will have a discretion to impose the statutory damage ranging between 10,000 yuan to 1 million yuan. This is the equivalent of the pound, 1,000 to 10,000 something. And the compulsory licensing added more ground, like a non-working for 3 years without reasonable ground, then this government can issue the compulsory licensing. And then there's the anti-competition, for example, like a refusal for deal or something like that. And then public interest, if there's a public interest, and then compulsory license can be issued, particularly for semiconductor technology. And the patent, after this change, you can, the China witnessed the explosion, basically explosion of the patenting. By year 2011, there are over 5 million patents in China, and it's become number one in year 2012, overtaking all other countries, become the number one patent filer in the world, and it, 526,000 patents were filed in year 2012. And then 1.26 million patent granted in this period with a 31% of increase. And among those, 80% were granted to Chinese domestic applicants. And they also set the target that of 2 million per year by year 2015. Okay, and then the PCT, this is the international patent PCT filing. In year 2012, become number two, it's over 18,000, and with a 13.6% increase. And the two companies consecutively become the number top number five in PCT filing. The company Huawei and the ZTE, both in the telecommunication sector. Huawei became the number one PCT filer in year 2008, and then ZTE became number one in year 2011 and year 2012. And also their servicing invention also increased. Service invention means that the employee using company's facility or the invented during the course of their employment. And then and this were considered as one of the indicators for the innovation because this is not largely done with the company and not individual. And then in addition, besides those large numbers, we also see some problem in patenting. First of all, the invention patent increasing, but it's still very low. Comparing, I use some I use U.S. Example as a comparison. For example, the invention patent have been quite low compared to the United States, like. China, by the end of 2012, it's about 3 million. And but for United States, it's by the end of the year 2012, it's about more than 8 million for invention patent. Invention patent because it's a higher level of patent, right? Comparing with the utility model and the design. So whether invention patent it's more invention patent, it's just one of the indicators whether the country is more innovative. And also for among the three kind of patent, the invention patent is only takes about 26%, and the other two, like utility models and the designs, takes about another more than invention patent, 39 and 35%. Comparing with the United States, they applied 89% invention patent, only 3% of utility model and 8% of design. And in terms of how many people in 10,000, among 10,000, how many people hold invention patent, China is also fairly low. Only 2.4 in among per 10,000 people holding the invention patent, and the United States has 35.6 people holding invention patent among the 10,000 people. So the ratio, it's has huge difference, and. This diagram shows that this light green is China's invention patent, and this one is Japan, and this one is United States, the dark blue, and the European patent is the red one, the pink one is the Republic of Korea. So almost all of those have higher invention patent rates in the previous year, and then China only started in about 1980, and then continually very low until year 2000, after year 2000, and then climb very rapidly. Okay. And another problem is that in patent in high and high technology sector is also increasing but still low. The increase is very impressive, but like 10 times of those filed in year 2002. But when you look at the telecom and other related industry, and also pharmaceutical manufacturing and information transmission software, all quite low. And clean technology is even lower. In comparison, there's 39% of US PTO, that's US applicant, have applied in a high technology sector. And so this is another problem, is that the patent is fairly low in high technology field. And the further, the maintenance of patent in force for over 5 years, it also fairly low comparing with the United States. Like United States is 1 million, and China is only 220,000. So those and also only for 5 years period, not to mention the 20 years or 15 years or 20 years. So you can see that the China filed a lot of patent but didn't really maintain it. Okay, if you file a lot but you don't maintain, then that means the patent is just a figure. It's not used, it's useless, right? And then the commercialization of patent, basically it's very low transfer rate and lack of venture capital, and also there's not sufficient service for this. And the model included technology transfer, licensing, setting up companies, joint venture, merger and acquisition. And I just noticed yesterday they had a new model, like auctioning online or on spot of the patent rights. There's an example, like a Chinese auto company, and there's a company called like Geely. This is auto company in China. They acquired a Volvo and all their IPRs. And another company, Chinese auto company, SAIC, S-I-A-C, they acquired South Korea's SsangYong and all their controlled IPRs. And also they acquired Rovers, some IPR from Rovers. And by this way, they can get some technology transfer or get some IPRs. In another problem with the patent system, and now it's litigations also climbed by the end of the year 2012, there were 103,000 some cases in IP, and for patent, only in it's 9,680 cases with 23% of increase, and the litigation is also exploding. It's, you know, I heard a lot of stories, and you know, the judges and the lawyers are so busy with all these patent litigations, and so some examples like this is Chinese company Schindt and Schneider. This is the German company, I think. This is for utility model patent for miniature low voltage circuit breaker. And this case was initially brought by Schneider in Germany, and then Chinese company claimed for infringement, and eventually Chinese court awarded 157.5 million yuan in damage to Chinese company. Another is Eli Lilly versus Gandhi. Gandhi is Chinese pharmaceutical company. Also about, you know, whether the infringement by Gali, by using the recombinant human insulin pattern technology. And eventually court used the Ebola exemption and decided that there's no infringement, and then it said that Gani is the only using the technology to apply for the market approval. And the case about the design patent, and this is involved the Chinese company, auto company Chery, producing a QQ car, which basically the same as the Chevrolet's the Spark in appearance. And then Chevrolet, GM sued for the infringement of their design. The problem is that GM did not file the design patent in China, but eventually the case was settled. Now there's a pending, as I said, a pending amendment. And the objective of this amendment is to enhance the enforcement of patent rights. Essentially, this round of amendment want to go back before year 2001, and now revert to the previous situation that enhanced the administrative enforcement of IPR. And basically, they want to give the CIPO more power in deciding the validity of the patent. It basically said that the decision on patent validity will take effect as soon as the decision was announced. Now, before you have to subject to the court decision, you have to wait. And then now it take effect immediately. And also, there's the power to investigate and to impose the fine, even impose the damage award. Now, before the administrative authority had no power to grant a damage award, and now it, the power was given to them. And also the damage, statutory damage, greatly increased. To triple the damage of the original damage. And this probably is good because it has been criticized that China's damage was too low. And then there's some change to compulsory licensing, not very dramatic because China had to implement the Doha Declaration on the public health issue. So this is not really very controversial. And then there's a change about the service invention in essence to give the inventor more power and more right to enforce their rights against their employer. Okay, essentially the employee, the inventor has a right to to know their right and they have their priority right if the IPR is not used by employer, or if the IPR is transferred or abandoned whatever. And they have the all of those rights, and they also have to be compensated at the minimum reward, like a 0.05% of the business profit. Basically, it's given more power and right to the inventor employee. Okay, so I don't know. I'll quickly go through the discussion. We can also discuss in the Q&A session. My question is that the changes in patent law will automatically lead to more patents. From the figure, we can see probably yes. Every time there's a change, and then there's an increase of the patent application or filing. Another question is whether more patent will lead more innovation. Probably a lot of people will ask why there is a drastic change or increase in patenting in China. My guess is that first of all, there's a pressure to reach the target of the national IP strategy, because the national IP strategy outline gives the target to reach, right? Ranking the top five or how many. So China is an authoritarian country, right? If there's a central government policy and then all the local government have to implement, and they all set the target to reach. And this is the first reason. Second reason, probably there's more money put into the R&D, and in year 2000, year 2012, there's ₩1.0 trillion put into the R&D with a 17.9 increase over previous year. Part of money are used for patent application. Definitely, those are money. And then there's a patenting incentive scheme, like patenting subsidy, like a filing phase. And also, if you awarded the patent, then you will receive the prize. And also, this also linked to promotion and also some living allowance, like housing. And so there's an incentive, great incentive to file the patent. I suspect also there's the company, they want to file more patent for defensive purpose. For they file more and more patent just for some of the company also learned from the Western country in the patent troll. They are just focusing on the litigation, the buying the patent and filing the patent and buying the patent and sue some other company. The question is that whether all these patent numbers and incentive scheme can be translated into innovation. And the next question is how to define innovation, whether the more patent or more patent means more invention, but whether invention means innovation. According to some of the studies or this definition, invention does not equal innovation. Innovation involves more stage, more activities commercialization or transfer of technology to produce the end result to meet some specific needs. And so for innovation, I think not only the pure number of the patent, but also the quality of the patent. And also the patent in the high technology and maintained for a long period of time. And also for the commercialization or technology transfer and licensing. Without those later stage of the patenting, then I don't think you can call there's innovation. So in China, right now China is a patent powerhouse, I think, because it's become number one in the world. And then the question is, have it become more innovative? So by looking at what we saw earlier about the quality of patent and also about the area the patent being filed and about the maintenance period and the rate of commercialization, all of those, I think it's hard to call China as an innovative country yet. And then another question is that can the pending amendments help promote innovation, because this is a new round of amendment. We know that this round of amendment is focusing on the enforcement. So the question is that whether there is a correlation between enforcement and the innovation. Another thing is that the returning to administrative enforcement, whether this comply with the WTO requirement, And whether this is good for innovation, I have no answer for this, but we can discuss later. And then the question is, what are missing from this round of amendment? My feeling is that without change to the patentable subject matter, without giving more the ownership to the state-funded project or entity, it's really difficult to promote the innovation. Then there's something else. I haven't thought about yet, but there should be more to improve the innovation. And the service invention, whether there's more protection for employee, inventor, or good for innovation, because some of the particularly Western company complained that because the company set up the manufacturer, right, or all the research R&D center in China, majority of the employees are Chinese, and they are very smart, and they do a lot of invention, and then the problem is that if they have the more rights, like claim the patent ownership, or and then those companies will have less control of the patent ownership, right? So this is the problem. And then I think it's probably this the purpose of giving more protection for employee inventor is to protect the Chinese employees. And then the Bayh-Dole style legislation and compulsory licensing. Not much change, but this time you can see that they have more liberal. They like want to have a more compulsory licensing. The issue is that whether China is going to follow the suit of India or Thailand in giving more compulsory licensing, and whether the compulsory licensing is beneficial to China's innovation in the long run. And my conclusion is that patent law change can, to some extent, affect the trend of patenting and innovation. Therefore, it should be taken cautiously every time. The amount of a patent is an indicator of innovation, but sometimes can be misleading and unreliable. And then national innovation competitiveness eventually will depend on true innovative spirit, culture, and also a comprehensive innovation framework, but not only depending on the figure or number. And China has made a remarkable progress in innovation, but there's long way for China to become an innovative country. Okay, thank you very much.